Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
And I'm not bipolar. What a hideous thing to say.
Who said you were bipolar?
Yes.
This is only 24 hours ago.
You said it to me right before the show. Guess who said it? My new best friend.
Okay, you're really super friendly after the show, but beforehand, it's like, don't talk to the talent. I need to...
I am not that way, like I'm Roseanne Barr.
The talent. Did he refer to himself as the talent?
He did. He said, do not talk to the talent. The talent is prepared.
See, now you're just making things up.
You called yourself the talent?
I did not call myself the talent.
Next thing you know, you're
going
to be doing an interview with somebody referring to yourself as, well, Rick doesn't do this. And Rick does.
Rick
thank
Emerson
you, thank you, baby Jesus. Rick Emerson is the man of the show.
Rick Emerson. At no point did I refer to myself as the talent. Here's what happened. We were talking. It happened last night, and then again this morning, where Christina comes in and she's like training Sarah, apparently inadequately, about how to do something. No, I'm just screwing with you. Comes in this morning, says hi to me, and I go, yeah, hi. And she goes, well, there you are, being bipolar again. And it's like, I'm doing stuff. I'm like at my desk trying to get this stuff taken care of.
You were running back and forth between your desk and the coffee pot.
Trying to work. Well, that's the other thing, because I hadn't had my caffeine yet.
Okay.
It doesn't make me bipolar.
I'm sorry if that upset you. I didn't mean to...
We should go to take some more cracks at my clothing.
It wasn't your clothing, it was your shoes.
See, here we go again. Being mean
you
to me.
You keep bringing it up. I didn't want to talk about it anymore.
I didn't bring it up. Okay, here's me last night. Sitting at my... This is not going to work out. I can already see the writing on the wall that this is doomed. Here's me sitting at my desk last night, not screwing with anybody, not doing anything, keeping to myself, doing a little work, trying to be a good guy, trying to get a few things accomplished. Sitting there, typing away. Sarah, like, wanders over with Clyde in tow, and she goes, we really got to talk to you about your shoes. Let me take you shopping. Like, out of the blue, for no reason. I hadn't solicited, nor had I asked, for an opinion on my shoes or any sort of footwear that I have.
Obviously, you're having thoughts about it, because you're still talking about
it. I'm only having thoughts about it because your ass, out of nowhere, decided to start taking pot shots at the way I dress myself.
I did not. I just said, hey, maybe you said yourself that you've had them since, what, 1994?
Well, not the same pair.
Well,
I'm
you
just
buy
saying,
a new pair every year of
right.
the same shoe.
I kind of wear the same boot. I've been wearing these same boots 5-6 years.
I'm just saying it might be time for a change. That's all I was saying.
All right. Yeah, thanks for your input. Yeah, it's much appreciated. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. Maybe I'll start giving Justin some tips on where to pick up less abrasive women. All right. It's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. You want to get on board via email, you can do it. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Yeah, I'll start doing the Roseanne thing next. I'll just get ready to numbers. There's name tags with a number. You, 17. You, 4. Get over here. What do we got coming up this hour? We got Christina Carlson's top 5 musical acts of all time. We got another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. Later on, News at Grenzer with Clyde Lewis. And I did not refer to myself as the talent. I don't even feel comfortable when other people call me the talent. Jerome, who's the head of the sales division for KOTK, will be talking to a client and go, well, Rick Emerson here is the talent. And I always kind of... I start to squirm kind of awkwardly. It's like when somebody starts talking about the... We're going to have a best of show. And I just kind of get these sort of shivers of uncomfortability. Because there's not really anything best or best of or talented about the show in any way, shape, matter, manner, or form. All right, the hell am I doing here? I had more to... I don't know what it is. Now I've all lost it. It's all become lost in this big wash of cosmic invention careening through a cosmic vapor of...
I think we were getting ready to go to Tim Riley in the newsroom.
Well,
I should be wrong.
Then. Here's Tim Riley. He's in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
And it's 106. This news is brought to you by Radio Shack and a great finance deal when you use your Radio Shack Answers Plus credit cards. It's a super offer just in time for the holiday. Today only, though, at Radio Shack. A tractor trailer hauling furniture jackknifed on the I-5 southbound at Castle Rock this morning after the truck driver fell asleep. It happened during rush hour, causing a major headache for motorists. Washington State Police say now 2 lanes have been open. Other than that, all the lanes are closed, forcing drivers to squeeze by on the shoulder. When it comes to youth sports, it's often the adults who act like children. Now the Sherwood City Council is telling parents and coaches to act their ages or get the hell out. A proposed ordinance to be discussed today will allow referees to expel obnoxious coaches and parents from the city's sports facilities.
Wait, where is this? Is this
at Sherwood?
So this is just for the kids, for kids' games?
Yeah.
All right, all right.
It comes as communities around the country have adopted guidelines to ensure coaches and parents don't act like fools during their kids' games and practices. In some cases, the angry words have led to violence, such as when a Massachusetts man was beaten to death while supervising his son's hockey game.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh at being beaten to death. But
only hockey.
I mean, I'm just saying, you're a bad person, bad things happen to you. What they ought to do, they want to curb these violence at you. They just put a smoking rail about 700 feet above home plate or whatever. That seems to...
Free camels.
Seems to be kind of a self-cleaning oven.
Oh, that does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Natalie Maines, the lead singer of the country music trio, the Dixie Chicks, talked with me
recently.
She's
a fat one?
Yeah, she is.
Right. Dude, she's not fat.
She's short and stout.
No, she's got pretty big hips.
She's got birthing hips.
Birthing hips.
She's got breeding legs.
Yeah. And I asked her, Natalie, tell me about this concert special you're in.
Yeah, do that.
It's more eloquent and elegant, I think. And it's going to focus a lot more on the music. There's no skits or B-roll or anything like that. We really just wanted to see how much music we could fit into the 42 minutes or whatever we get.
Take it to the people.
And,
out of the streets.
You know, it's a lot more intimate. The cameras sweep a lot just across the instruments and the hands.
They get a crowd of 30,000.
Really get to see all the fine lines and wrinkles and muscles.
Intimate is always code for we can't sell any tickets to anybody, and so we're playing like a small theater in Juneau.
Yeah.
That's what intimate... Like, you ever see those bands? It'll be like... God, I don't even know who leaps to mind at this point, but I mean, it's where Creed's going to be in 7 or 8 years when they're playing more intimate venues.
It's where Spinal Tap's at now.
And they always completely, our appeal's just becoming more selective and stuff. It's like when I saw, who the hell even was it? I saw a band 2 years in a row. It was in the heyday of all the glam. It must have been like Great White or somebody, where I saw them like 1 year, like the Gorge. You know, and I don't know how many people the Gorge holds, like 20,000 people or something, isn't it? How many people fit into the Gorge?
I don't know the exact number.
And a lot of people.
Yeah, but it'll fit a lot of
people. So they're up there and they're just rot-godding it. And then the next year they're at this place called the Metropolitan Opera House in Spokane, holds 300 people. And the only reason we filled it is because we, like, gave away a bunch of tickets. Here you go. Come on in. Just grabbing, like, homeless guys. Come on. Won't you please come in? So, all right.
Listen to this. It's amazing any work ever gets done at the office because 42% of Americans say they've had sex on the job. I don't believe this. According to a new sex survey in the upcoming Playboy magazine, 38% of men and 48% of women have been working their bodies on company time. However, when it comes to workplace whoopee, the ladies have the men beat. 46% of women have bedded their boss compared to only 18% of men. 45% of women have had sex on their desk compared to only 3% of guys.
Well, that's because guys can't make it to the desk. That's because guys can't even get to the, guys will just stop at the first place. They find, oh, there's a closet. That's why. What was the first number, though?
That's, 46% of women
have had what?
Have bedded their boss compared to only 18% of men.
Well, that's because... Well, that's a stupid statistic. That's because there are no female bosses anywhere to speak of. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm speaking in general, but by and large, your boss probably is a guy just because that's the way kind of things work. So that's a dumb statistic. I want to know...
That can't be right. Half of all women in the workplace have slept with their boss.
Well, what was the very first statistic? Start the article. What was the very first?
Let's see here. 42% of Americans say they've had sex on the job.
Okay, 42.
Yeah.
Percent of Americans, but how many of those are women?
Okay, 38% men, 48% of women. 48% women.
Well, where are these women? That means
half
like,
of all women.
That means that either That means either Sarah or Christina has had sex here. Okay, who is it?
I have.
Fess up.
No way.
Well, she just started here anyway.
Yeah. Well, we get a little checker at the end of the week, I guess. That means half the women, statistically speaking, half the women in this building have had sex here in the confines of these walls. It's not either of you guys. I'm doing a mental run through on the women who work over in the sales side.
There aren't very many women here anyway.
No, the women we've got here are hot though, so Nobody leaps to mind. I bet there's somebody.
Plus, these salespeople in those polyester suits, I can see why the ladies would go for something
what
like
with,
that.
What with the sales guys being
in
all
hard-bodied
and whatnot? Yeah. What with the sales guys here apparently being such chick magnets and everything? All right, well, whatever you say. But the telling thing about that statistic is that there's a higher number of women than men, which means there's just a group of slutty women that are having sex with, like, a smaller number of guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like there's just like two or three women out there, and then there's one guy who gets to nail all three of them. Apparently, I mean, according to the study, that's how I'm hearing the study. So, no, I just okay. Well, whatever.
And finally, 20% of ladies will gladly sleep with interns compared to only 12% of men.
Oh, see that is a lie. That's how we know this survey is crap. Because there's no woman sleeping with an intern somewhere unless he's just white hot. And how often is that going to happen? Men. He says, because men are much more non-judgmental when it comes to sex. Women think that men are incredibly judgmental. Women think that men are, are very restrictive and very harsh when it comes to grading. It's not true. Men are so unjudgmental. Men don't care. CEO, intern, working in the mailroom, waxing somebody's car, it doesn't matter. If you're hot, men will sleep with you. Women give a lot more weight to whether you're the intern or whether you're... the guy working up at the top chunk of the hierarchy. That's something women care about a lot more than men. Yeah, it's a bunch of crap.
Well, the complete survey is now on the newsstand. In the newest Playboy.
All right, excellent.
Well, we do have a chance of a thunderstorm this afternoon, and even though it was sunny a minute ago, so who knows. Cloudy with showers likely tonight, lows to the 40s, rain likely tomorrow, and Thursday as well. Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com. Made possible by Budget Computers, home of the $200 laptop.
All right, excellent. What I want to know is if it's not the desk, like, where else would it possibly be? It's not like you can do it in the conference room. You know what I mean? Because conference rooms, in general rule, got those big glassed-in walls, like big windows. Everybody walking by can see it. So there's just a desk and there's like a supply closet. That's pretty much it.
I think this is a harder office place, though, because there's somebody here 24 hours a day.
Yeah,
it's not like you can stay after the office late and, get your groove on or anything.
No, but other offices have got cameras and stuff. Like, I don't think we have any cameras here, not that I know of. Here, there's a lot of glass and there's always somebody here. But at other offices, like if you work at some accounting firm, you can't have sex anywhere there because there's always, they got surveillance and security guards and stuff going on there. So... Some guy who works the overnight shift on some, the classic rock station down the hall is a hell of a lot less likely to turn you in than, some security stooge. Anyway. Let's see. Derek in Portland. What's up with you?
Dude, what is wrong with you guys? Okay, let's get this straight. It's 42% of the U.S. population.
Right.
And 48% of the 42%, right? Get it?
Not
48% of all women.
That's what I
know you're not a learned man, but at least Matt should have gotten this.
All right, so that ends up being about 20% of women.
Exactly. So F Matt with all 42%.
All right, there
you go. F Matt could be sponsored by your business.
So that ends up being like 1 in 5 women have had sex at work. That's still pretty high. I mean, that's still incredible. I mean, it's encouraging. It does indicate that your odds are somewhat more significant than you might have otherwise thought. So, all right.
Anyway.
I think the only way you can do that is if you either A, are not feeling terribly secure in your job to begin with, or, like, you just despise your job and you don't care. Because they don't... I think you used to be able to get away with stuff like that a lot easier back in the 70s and the 80s, but it's like... This is all Anita Hill's fault, by the way. Anita Hill has made it so hard to have sex at work. It's just become... Anita Hill has made it so difficult to cop feels on your secretary... to pressure underlings into sexual favors. It's just, it's a whole unpleasant world we live in now. I don't like being part of it. All right, anyway. What the hell were we even talking about? I don't even know what it was. We went somehow from making fun of my clothing to sex at work to something or other. It's all gone.
Maybe
now.
It had something to do with the fact that with the clothing you wear, you'll never have sex at work.
Probably with the clothing. Well, look at me. Can I just tell you this? As a little side note, we're having some filming done here today. Our friend Jay is a good friend of the show and a filmmaker. They're making a short movie about the Rick Emerson show. And, of course, I knew it. Like, it's been on my calendar for like a month and a half. Tuesday, Jay comes, films. What did I wear today? All white, baby. Got the whole white shirt. It's going to be the ghostly floating head of Rick Emerson just... Every frame, just my head just rolling down the hallway. It's like on picture day. I was, because I went to a Catholic school, and so we had the uniform, which is like the white shirt with the green pinstriping. They picked up the ladies. And it's like they would always do the free dress day, where you could wear
I
like whatever.
Free dress day.
Yeah, but I always forgot. Like my ass was always the one, I didn't know I was free dressed. Oh, crap. And so it's like they, so everybody else has a picture taken, they got their eyes odd. They're getting their varnay on. And meanwhile, there's me with, like, in this stupid white shirt again, so it's just my head. You know, there's, like, my pants, because, of course, the pants we wore, green denim, baby. Oh, yeah. And so there's the green denim pants, and then this amorphous thorax area where there's nothing, and then my head with my greasy ass 12-year-old hair, big old cowlick going on in the back.
You seem to have a thing when you wear white on filming days, because weren't you wearing white on the O'Reilly Factor?
Yeah, let's not talk about that. That was unfortunate. It's not my fault. The O'Reilly Factor thing was not my fault. It was short notice. I didn't know I was going to be on. The O'Reilly Factor called me back when a couple years ago, but the O'Reilly Factor called me. Literally, like an hour notice, I was at work. I had no time to go home. I go to the O'Reilly Factor, and I've got this white, it's my, and it was before 9/11, but it was this Abbie Hoffman shirt. It was like this American flag shirt that was sort of in the style of Abbie Hoffman that I happened to be wearing that day. So you see me, you know, I look like a big tube of, like, AIM toothpaste. I just look like my head sitting on a big pile of Aquafresh. That's what that looked like. It was just bad. What the hell is wrong with me? No one knows. Subject line, Rick's mental state. Rick, of course you're not bipolar. Shame on her for perpetuating stereotypes. Bipolar disorder doesn't work that way at all. You might be schizophrenic. That's Sarah.
That's another option.
Well, so look, you just...
You're definitely neurotic.
I'm not... Well, okay, I am neurotic. That doesn't mean I'm manic, though. All right. Let's see. George, you're on Hot Talk to Eddie KFTK. What's up?
Yeah, Rick, I wanted to know when, not if... Christina, but when she comes crawling out of the sagebrush and tumbleweed on her hands and knees, would you be in favor of taking her back on the show?
Yeah, but we're going to add some duties to her task roster. She's going to have to fetch us coffee every morning, and she'll have to call me Jefe.
That seems...
How is that different than my usual day?
Oh, but it'll...
It was just
laying there. Come on.
One Point Carlson. That's your new theme.
Oh, goody.
Have a betting pool about when that's going
to
happen.
We ought to have some sort of an over-under on when exactly she's going to come back from bend or her pregnancy. Because I'm telling you, man, it's not even going to be 6 months and you're going to be pumping out little replicas of yourself. I know how men work. Because there's no better way, and I said this yesterday, there's no better way for a man. Because the man, here's the thing, is that 21st century or not, men are still essentially primates. And so what a lot of men want to do is men want to make sure you're off the market and that, you know, you're an exclusive to the John is the only one who's going to be having his hooks in you. And there's no better way to throw the anchor off the USS Christina than to impregnate you, because he knows that immediately you've lost 20 years of your life. That's the thing. And plus, he knows that... I mean, can I just speak frankly here? He knows that for the 9 months...
What have you been doing? Yeah, I'm just checking.
I'm just saying, he knows that for the 9 months you're pregnant, nobody's going to stoop you unless you're some fat enthusiast.
Well, hopefully he would know that no one's going to stoop me anyway.
Yeah, but guys are never that secure. Guys don't... Because guys know how guys are. You know what I mean? Guys know that 48% of you are having sex on an office desk somewhere. Anyway, subject line, Christina. Rick, Christina's not really very bright now, is she? She thinks that you all are horrible for parading women in on the pretext of auditioning for a job that had already been decided on. But what about conning her to stay an extra week after you'd already gotten her replacement? Has she figured that one out yet? I forgot about that.
I kind of forgot about that, too, actually. So maybe I am not very bright.
And that was my whole thing. That was my whole deal, because after the show, I'm like, we'd really appreciate it if you could say that we haven't found anybody to take over yet, and so we'd really be in a lurch if you left. Okay, I don't want to abandon you when you really need me. Thank you, baby. I appreciate that. Have some cake.
Actually, we were eating pie when you asked me, so.
Pie. Let's see. David's a full-time listener in Happy Rock. What's up?
Hey, Rick, you're making me feel like a freak here. I mean, I lived on sex on the job for quite a while. When I was younger, at least.
Well, see, that's my thing, too, is I think you get to a certain point where it's like, you have enough. I mean, I was known to engage in those sort of shenanigans and hijinks. Back when I had a job that it didn't matter if I lost it because I was only making $4 a week and I was only working 3 hours a month. So that was one thing. But it's like, I think the more and more invested you get into a job, the less apt you are to take, like, enormous risks at any moment when your general manager might walk in. You know what I mean?
Well, I was fairly well invested at the job I was in at a company that kind of rhymes with Mikey. for 10 years, and anyway, you know, she was my manager, and and it worked.
No, see, I would never. No, there's just no way.
I left the company.
No, this, yeah, that, see, that's how it always ends. This, let me just tell you this right now. I'm a man, so I'm all for getting it where you can get it. You know what I mean? It's like Alec Baldwin says, you know, the money's out there. You pick it up, it's yours. You don't, I got no sympathy for you. I'm all for getting it as you can get it, but that's just one thing you can't, you can no longer dip your pen in the company inkwell. That sort of thing's, those always ends badly now. There's never any good end to that. But I will tell you this, too. Is sex in the office, and like 89% of the time, the woman's idea. It's the woman's idea about 9 times out of 10, because women have got this thing where they're all secretly exhibitionistic, I think. Women all secretly want, and it's because they're all, you know, as like as there's no, they're all kind of spotlight hogs. You know, not at all like me. But anyway, women are all kind of spotlight hogs, and so women have this thing where they want to be sort of, like, because men are kind of voyeuristic a lot of the time, but women are exhibitionistic. And so women secretly want to be watched, I think, in some sort of intimate situation sometimes. I was just speculating. I'm just basing that upon the experiences I have had. But I think that tends to be the case. How did we even get off on there was a news story. That's right. All right. We got more on the way. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up, we got another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. Also, Christina Carlson's top 5 musical acts of all time. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk Kennedy KFTK. We are back after this.
Lord Jesus, turn them on. Leave them burning and then you're gone. Looking out for another.
Live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, and here is, yes, Sarah, with the traffic.
Okay, the accident I-5 northbound at the Kelso exit has been cleared. There is, however, an accident I-5 southbound.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
It's 1:28. Tim Riley with news, brought to you by America One Financial, where they offer no upfront fees and a free appraisal with your mortgage. Call 503-699-5272. 503-699-5272. America One, your neighborhood lender. The season finale of The Sopranos was the second most watched episode of HBO's mob drama, with 12.5 million viewers tuning in as Carmela and Tony Soprano split. The episode drew a larger audience than any broadcast network show airing at the same time. As last year, the finale proved a runner-up in ratings to the season premiere, The Sopranos drew its biggest ever audience, 13.4 million, when it returned September 15th for a fourth season. Overall, the series is up 22% in viewership compared to last season. We'll have showers and maybe a thunderstorm this afternoon. Oh, it's dark and dismal out there all of a sudden. Highs about 50. Cloudy, more showers tonight. Lows in the 40s. Rain likely tomorrow and Thursday. Tim Riley, the KOTK Newsroom.
All right, 1-800-737-5955 or 503-250-1080. I'm just going to refer to myself as the talent constantly from now on. I'm not even going to have a name. That's, I'm just going to sign all memos, the talent. It's
the talent show.
And when you refer to yourself, you need to refer to yourself in third person.
Completely.
Rick wants this.
The talent doesn't feel that way. All right. 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-737-5955. In a few moments here, we got the top 5 musical artists of all time in the opinion of Christina Carlson. I'm moving through. So tomorrow we'll do, we'll try to get, Sarah's and Tim's. And then we've got a special top 5 coming up for Friday. The day Christina says goodbye on a very special Rick on the Edge of Space. Scott is a full-time listener here in Southeast. What's up with you, man?
Greetings, talent.
Yes, thank you. That's the new greeting for the show. That's the new opening. Hello, talent.
Well, I was going to point out that the percentage of people having sex on the job is probably a lot higher in the service industry than it would be in a job where you, say, are in a cubicle or have a desk.
Yeah, well, so service industry would be like delivery drivers.
No, I mean like waiters or people working in restaurants or hotels.
Really? Why? Just because you have How would that be?
You really got the time there.
You got the cooler, you got the linen closet, you got the laundry room.
Yeah, baby.
I mean, all sorts of depravity.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I like depravity. Depravity's a big, we give thumbs up to depravity here. All right. That's what I want to think about my waiter doing. I want to think about my waiter giving the high hard one to Hans, the meat line cook, you know, like between making omelets. And he's back there sticking it to the shrimper. All right. Yeah. Anyway, that's just me. Let's see. Rick, you would be insane not to go and hire that Therese girl who was on last week for Christina's pre-trailer in Bend job. She's smart, funny, her pop culture literacy is off the charts, even though Sean Cassidy, how's that for mingling with greatness? The only issue would be compensation, but I'm sure Matt would gladly take a pay cut. That is, assuming you guys in radio are actually paid in something other than promotional swag, ski ball tickets, and Safeway coupons.
Yeah, I'm not giving up my Safeway coupons, goddammit. That's a good deal.
Stay in with me. I need those to buy small plastic frogs on keychains. All right, here's your top five for Tuesday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy. I love to count, don't you?
All right, and this is your top five for Tuesday. These are the, as we continue, this is a trend we started, I think, on Friday. We continue to explore the musical soul of each member of the Rick Emerson Show cast and crew, looking at their top five musical artists of all time. Today we come to Christina Carlson's top five musical artists of all time.
Honorable mention goes to Pearl Jam.
All right, well, this is starting off well.
I had a really hard time. Oh.
Just whack your teeth into the microphone.
It hurt. I had a hard time. I actually stayed awake last night thinking about this, too. So, I mean, I don't know how you do this every day.
What, like, do you mean? The top five?
The top five.
Comes with being the talent.
It's
a gift, skill.
But what I finally decided is I went by the amount of CDs I had from each of these artists and how many hours spent listening. So these are the people that I have the most CDs of and spent the most time listening.
No, I can get with the Pearl Jam. For all of the slag I throw towards the Seattle scene of them, you know, the mid 90s and all of that grunge. I mean, Pearl Jam's a great band, they really are. And Eddie Vedder, have you ever seen him live?
I have.
They used to play warm-up gigs, probably as they did in Seattle. They used to play warm-up gigs in Spokane a lot, sort of these surprise gigs. And they would play this place called the Spokane Opera House, real intimate venue, seats like 350 people. And you can really, and they would announce it 2 hours before the show. They would look, you know, surprise show tonight, 7 o'clock, be there. And I got to see them because a radio station would present a lot of those. And, I mean, Eddie Vedder is one of those guys who, in his prime, at his greatest moments, at the peaks of his delivery, he is one of those guys that is just touched by the finger of God. You know
very
what I mean?
True.
Where he just has sort of this otherworldly quality to him that he doesn't have all the time. But, I mean, it does radiate out of that guy sometimes.
And I think it came out right at a time where I was really vulnerable to music. I mean, because this came out, dare I say, you know, I was like in junior high.
I was 4.
I was actually like 12. But, I mean, it was like the coolest thing ever.
12.
I really was.
Jesus God. What year would that have been? 1992?
1992. I think this song came out in 1992 because I was a 7th grader.
I was getting ready to...
I had already been a program director and had changed jobs. Oh, God.
I was graduating from high school.
Well, I was already a... Ah, never mind.
I actually worked that year. Number five is the Dave Matthews Band.
Well, this went right into the toilet.
Well, and again, I should...
Strong start. Not so strong a follow-up.
Well, I was just going to explain myself. I think that this is just a time and place sort of thing, because Dave Matthews came out when I was in college, and listen to this. This is total college music. I mean...
Read high.
Well, yes, but, I mean, I just... My years at college and this, and everybody listened to it, and it was just kind of a time and place sort of thing. Still listen to it occasionally. Don't love it today as much as I used to, but when I did love it... I mean, I've seen him in concert multiple times, and... So it's kind of a time and place.
I don't understand the people who listen to Dave Matthews. Why don't you just go buy a Peter Gabriel CD?
Well, I like Peter Gabriel as well.
This is like listening to a bad Peter Gabriel cover artist in a bar somewhere. This is like going to... you know, like some whole bean coffee shop, and hearing some guy with a goatee and a beret standing on stage with a tip jar out front.
Well, that's very true, but remember, this is my list, and that's something that I would probably like, is the guy in the beret at the coffee shop.
I'm not begrudging you your right to create the list in your own image. I'm just saying. Crap. In my opinion.
Think as you will. The lone
good Dave Matthews song is Don't Drink the Water.
That is a very good
song. Don't Drink the Water is a great song with a great video. It's the only good thing he ever did, in my opinion.
I really enjoy it. I feel like he's a very, very good live performer, just because, I mean, I've seen Pearl Jam live too, and, you know, by the time I saw Eddie Vedder live, he was just kind of drunk and real stiff. Everything was performed exactly as it was performed on the album. And, you know, the many times I've seen Dave Matthews, it's always different, and so.
Number four, the Indigo Girls.
I'm not even going to bother with that one. It's too low for me to stuff. That low-hanging fruit is too lazy for me.
You know, I'm not really into chick rock very much, but, you know, I really, really like that. What do you say? Indigo Girls.
Yeah. You know, I take back everything about Matt's list being unmanly. I mean, we started off so strong with Pearl Jam, and then it's... And then we started steering towards, like, an astro fest.
I still want to know how you're defining my list in any way, shape, or form as unmanly.
No, especially contrasted with this.
Contrasted with anything, how was it unmanly?
But you haven't heard the rest of my list yet.
No.
Maybe
no,
I'll go back
and
on
I,
up. Back
and
on
I do
up.
Have to say, I do have to say, here's, and as cheesy as this is, and this is what people always say about an act that you don't like. This Clyde had a great observation about the butt rock comment, by the way, that butt rock just translates to music I don't like. That's kind of what butt rock means. It's rock I don't like. But what people always say about some band that people sneer at, they're always going, dude, you've got to see them live. That's always the catch-all saving statement for any band that you dislike. You've got to see them live. I will say, well, as I've talked about this before, that I've seen the Indigo Girls. Because when Laura and I first met, actually, Oasis and the Indigo Girls were playing back-to-back two different nights in Seattle. So we went and we saw Oasis one night, the Indigo Girls the next night, and Emily Saliers,
who wrote this song.
Man, I got to tell you, that she is a blinding guitarist. She is one of those like country chicks that can play anything with strings, dobro, mandolin, banjo, guitar, whatever. You see them live, it really is a whole different experience. They played this blistering version of Wish You Were Here, which was really good. So, but you can't listen to nothing but this, though, because you'll start to find lots of sprouts in your cupboard.
No, I think that's very true. I couldn't listen to this all the time, but I'm a singer, and so I appreciate it in that respect.
Wow, these next three would be on my list, which is scary, because I'm old enough to be Christina's parent. Number three is Paul Simon.
Listen to that.
I can get with this. Paul Simon is universally loved by all people.
I have the 8-track of this.
There is no one on earth that dislikes Simon and Garfunkel. They don't exist. There is no such person.
Simon and Garfunkel was a great duo. I'm all about Simon and Garfunkel. Paul Simon just needs to realize he's not an Aborigine.
Well, see, here's the thing about Paul Simon.
Go away, I say to you.
The thing about Paul Simon is he was good, and I know this is like heresy to baby boomers, but you got to know that it's true. Paul Simon was a good solo artist until the Graceland album.
No, I agree.
Went right in the crapper. You listen to like Paul Simon's early solo stuff, like a song like the late, great Johnny Ace.
Oh, yeah.
Or Slip, Slide, and Away.
Oh, such a great song.
You know, or...
I'm with all of that, but everything after Graceland has just become drivel.
As soon as he started, again, it's like, just listen to Peter Gabriel. As soon as he started adding this, like, the Zaire Barbershop Choir, or whatever the hell they are behind him, it was never good after that. I saw Paul Simon at the Gorge last year. I don't even want to tell you how many dollars I paid for tickets. I paid an embarrassing amount of money to see Paul Simon and Brian Wilson at the Gorge last year. Brian Wilson came out and just kicked Paul Simon's wrinkled, spieled ass. Paul Simon came out, and Laura and I thinking, all right, Paul Simon, you know, classic folk songs from the 60s that are both poignant and uplifting. No, no, no. Just a big, stupid, you know, Saturday Night Fever by way of Johannesburg.
See, but you can't say that, because that ruins it for me. And I think Paul Simon
is... But this is a great song. One of the all-time great rock songs of that era is this. I'm with you on Paul Simon.
Absolutely.
Number two are the Beatles.
Well, you can't take anything away from that. What can they say about the Beatles?
This is really hard to choose a song, even. You know, I debated about the Beatles being my very number one. I almost put them there, but then I kind of decided that one of the reasons that I really, really, really like the Beatles is because my parents were huge Beatles fans, and that's all I listened to when I was growing up. And so I felt like, no, that's kind of their thing.
You had such a different childhood. Anything that didn't have, like, a cowboy boot on the front of it or didn't feature Buck Owens, like, it wasn't allowed in my house.
Somewhere around there, my dad had a recording studio in our house, and there's like... tracks and stuff of me singing all these backup on these songs. And
you're not like other people.
No, I'm really not. So I really grew up on this. So.
The thing is about the Beatles, I don't even sit around and listen. I don't even really own all that many Beatles songs because, like, you don't really need to. You just flip on the radio at any given moment and
right.
this song will be playing. But the thing about the Beatles is that you can't take away from them is they just created whole chunks of rock and roll.
Absolutely.
I mean, good, bad, or indifferent, whether anybody likes it or not, there are things in rock that they just created that didn't exist before they were around. Things that are still done now that the Beatles created, quite literally created.
I think I really enjoy them just because they're so, like, multifaceted. I mean, they really did have so many different kinds
of
music that they played.
Well, in such a short period of time, too, man. Such a long arc in such a short period of time.
And number one, Led Zeppelin.
Excellent. Like you're all mystified by it. Like you're puzzled.
This might be I think this was the very...
Time Life.
This is the very first Led Zeppelin song I ever embraced. And I was like, oh my lord, this is the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Oh no, and everybody has a story like this. And I know, here's a maxim of life, by the way. And I don't care who you are, me, you, Matt, Sarah, anybody. Here's the thing. Your childhood is only interesting to yourself. Let me just tell you that right now. No one's childhood is interesting to anybody but you. You know, that person, that's the only person cares about their childhood. So I don't want to sit and bore you with stories of me in high school. But I will say that, like many other people, as soon as I heard Led Zeppelin, it was like the lights just went on everywhere.
That's exactly what happened for me.
It was like I was living my room, my life in this whole dark room. My friend Bill Anderson, on a debate trip. Yeah, baby. Slip me that cassette copy, Led Zeppelin 4. I take it home, I'm like, this is a strange new piece of music. I think I'll give it a listen. Put it in. You press play and there's that, you know, blacked out, hey, hey, mama, sit there, wait. And this is peculiar. I feel that my life is turning on a new axis. And from that moment on, it's like the next day, it was so much like a movie. The next day, like getting rid of my polyester. No! It's only denim for me from now on. No more. Time to get rid of this cowlick.
This is actually what I spent most of my time in high school listening to as well.
Yeah, I can't knock that. All right, more on the way, including another edition of How Chicks Sing with Jolene from the Front Desk and News of Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. Stay there. Back after this.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Got an opinion? Email Rick Emerson day or night at rick@rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955.
Hey, Rick.
Yeah.
He wanted me to tell you around 2 o'clock to remind you of the cop and tire story.
Okay, so remind me again. This is like a snooze button I'm hitting here now?
Yes.
205.
I'm just preparing you.
All right, excellent. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
It's time for another edition of How Chicks Sing with Jolene from the Front Desk. I hate this song more every day.
No, because you actually hate the song and you're beginning to despise the segment.
No, it's not the segment. It's just this here. Makes me want to pull my own ears off. So welcome to the show, Jolie from the Front Desk. How are you doing?
I'm good. I've got these...
you got a thing there.
Lovely box of... they're called Fortune Flautas.
Okay.
Yeah, look at them. Some listener brought them by it with a note. I didn't read the note, though.
I don't know if you want to eat anything just given to you by some random listener. You might want to have Matt taste that
look
first.
Look at them. See?
And check
cool?
on about half
no,
an
wait,
hour
later.
Why are you having me taste? Give him the Clyde. Clyde will eat anything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Clyde's kind of like Mikey.
Keep your hands
exactly.
and feet away from his mouth.
Though. I'll let him taste them. And here's your note. You can read that later.
Is it a note for me?
Yeah, it's
wait,
a note.
Well, okay.
Were the flautists for him, too?
Hold on. Logic then dictates that if the note is for me, then the food is for me.
Actually, it says the Rick Emerson Show gang. And I think that I'm
which means
of
Jolie, of course. Of course, that means Jolie
I'm part
only.
Of the gang.
Give me my note.
Take your dang note.
Damn women. All right. All right, today's question comes to us from Mark in Portland. Jolie. I see he doesn't even address me anymore. Didn't even take talent.
How nice.
Jolie, Why can't women make up their minds about whether they want us looking at their bodies or not? Why does the same woman who wears a low-cut shirt give me dirty looks when my eyes are drawn there? Why do women in tight jeans complain when a guy is looking at their ass? You don't see me parading around in a Speedo, and if I was, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody was looking. Dress up or dress down, but why blame us when you're the one who put the clothes on? Fair enough. Good point, Mark. That's Mark in Portland.
Well,
points for Mark there. Thank you.
Excellent. Yeah. Look at that dismissive, that derisive. Yeah, whatever.
Well, okay, there's variations of what the women wear and when you can look at them and when you shouldn't. Just, I mean, because usually, I know I can just see it, Mark, standing there, looking with the mouth wide open, drool, you know, like, oh, you know. But here, I am not the most flat-chested girl in town.
That is true.
So, I have had this experience, and I would like to relay it to you, Mark. When you're having a conversation with a lady, you know, pretty close, right, you know, and you're looking at her, you're supposed to be looking at her eyes, and you're talking, you know, see, like Rick and I are here. Well, usually it's like this. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like that.
Okay, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Then the eyes are beaming right at the chest.
Right.
You know, women don't really appreciate that all the time.
Oh, please.
See, you've got to be more subtle.
It's so hard to figure out what women appreciate. I would consider it a compliment. I'm saying. You know what I mean? It's a compliment. It says that your body is so radiantly beautiful, I can't even pay attention to your words because I'm so transfixed by your beauty.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
But women want to be liked more for more than their beauty.
Yeah, well, I want to be taller.
And, well, come on, that doesn't even have anything to do with it.
I'm just saying we all want stuff.
You know, I mean, okay, I have seen a woman with a low-cut shirt, and for some ungodly reason, my eyes... I mean, I guess I experienced this as well. I don't know why.
Oh, I think
we know
why.
And it hasn't happened very many times, but occasionally.
When's the last time it happened? Who was it?
I don't really know.
Somebody who works here?
I don't know. No.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like this.
Have you ever looked at Christina that way?
What?
When you come in, do you ever look at Christina that way?
No, she doesn't wear shirts like that.
No, she's wearing a snug-fitting sweater today, though. Is today one of those days where you've looked at Christina that way?
No!
You can tell me.
No.
All right.
Probably it was Karina Curves.
Oh, yeah, well, 40F. How can you not? You have to, like, look at the sun to keep from seeing those because they fill up the whole room. So, I'm just saying, it seems like it would be a compliment. It's like,
sometimes, but, you know, you don't understand how many times women get oogled and, you know, Googled at all the time. I mean, you're walking down the street, you have whatever people they are, they're just men or whatever.
Man, listen to the scorn.
There's different cultures of people out there, of men out there.
Hey, mamacita.
You know, exactly. Yeah. You know,
That's all the time.
You
know what that is? Mexicans on the bus. That's who does that. Mexican guys on the bus or talking among themselves in a strange tongue. You know it's about you. Yeah.
I can speak Spanish, though. And
construction workers.
Yeah.
Construction workers with those lines that they must have worked at some point because they think that they're going to work on it. Hey, come back and sit on my hog! You know, just like something that they think is going to appeal to a woman.
Yeah, so, they're totally wrong.
I'm saying for me to you, you don't want us to look at your breasts, cover them up.
It doesn't work that way.
It really does. You cover them up, we can't see them.
Oh,
we might try, but we'll give up.
You'll totally look anyways. It doesn't matter whether you cover it up or not.
I am man. Feel me, Lech. All right. There's another edition of How Chicks Think there with Julie in the front desk.